At the time the TID was formed, a project plan was attached, and that project plan is available on the website, so if somebody wants to check the numbers, they're out there. What's most important in a TID is the expected future value of the property when this project is complete. And it's important that people understand it's the future projected property, because that is, the taxes on that increase in value is what's available to the city to pay back the project costs or the monies that the city invests in this product, in this project. In September of 16, when the TID was formed, the future value that was to be created was estimated to be $101 million. And the city was going to invest $26.8 million in various project costs, with just under $16 million being infrastructure and nearly $10 million in developer incentives and grants. Some of those grants and incentives were targeted to particular projects. Then the whole project kind of went to a standstill as the developer changed his mind a little bit and said, instead of renting this property from the county, he decided the terms of his relationship with the county were onerous enough that it would be better for the developer to own the property. But to secure that ownership took a long negotiation with Milwaukee County. And that sale did not take place until late 2017, January 2018, somewhere in that time frame. Such that a developer's agreement with the city wasn't signed until mid-February 2018, just over a year ago. At that time, the project had changed some. So where the original increase in project value was estimated at $100 million, now the developer's agreement estimated that increase in property value to be $125 million. So that increase in value provided additional future tax dollars that would support additional project costs. At the time when the county did this, the county knew that there was a methane system at the landfill that really needed to be replaced. The county didn't have the money to do that, or didn't spend the money, whether they had it or not, they didn't spend it, but mandated in the sale of the property to the developer that the TID then take on the cost of refurbishing that. That added $3.9 million to project costs, which were not part of the original project plan. To that, the city then agreed to pay for $22.5 million, including the $3.9 I just mentioned, in infrastructure costs and site preparation. In addition, the developer grants were reduced from nearly $10 million to a $3.5 million municipal revenue obligation. That's a fancy government term that says the city will pay you if there's excess money in the district and will only pay you after the city project costs have been paid for. So when you look at the financial documents online, and that Ms. Gunderson will talk about later, you'll see that that payment of $3.5 million plus some accrued interest does not occur until extremely late in the life of this district. In addition, the district agreed to pay an additional $1.5 million in municipal revenue obligation to the developer as an additional contribution to again refurbish the methane system when that first useful life exceeded. By state statute, the district must pay that within the no later than the 15th year of the life of the TID, so the money has been committed at that point in time. Whether it will be used at that time or not is unknown, but that is in 2031, the 15th anniversary. The city then went out and did a, in government terms, it's called a note anticipation note. The public would recognize it as a construction loan for these projects. That money was borrowed very shortly after the develop agreement was signed. That amounted to $24.5 million, which we had to borrow some interest to pay for it until the redevelopment came along, to pay the $22.5 million that was committed in the developer's agreement. There was some security that the developer gave the city when that developer's agreement was signed. And the developer agreed that the city could maintain a $2.5 million cash reserve in the TID as a means of having essentially 1 year's estimated debt service as a reserve in this district, and that no monies would be paid to the developer until after that reserve was created. We estimated that reserve to be done. Dawn, was that? If, when you look at this, that figure is highlighted, or that time frame is highlighted. What was the year? 2025 was the time that reserve was estimated to be created. And then an additional security for the city is the developer agreed that all of the lands in this TID, so from the very north end to the very south end, all of these lands were to be subject to what's called a payment in lieu of taxes. So should any of the projects be declared tax exempt for any reason, the developer agreed to pay the city a payment as if it was not exempt. And that would occur to protect the TID, so the TID would have the tax revenue to pay back the project costs. But because a TID only benefits the city, that such that when the TID closes, that tax value stays on the books, and the city gets the benefit then of its share of the taxes. We don't get all, gets its share. The pilot agreement extended for a period of 20 years beyond the life of the TID as a way of protecting it. No one anticipated that any significant portion of this TID would be declared exempt, but this was a protective clause put into the agreement to give the city protection that we would get tax dollars regardless of what happened to the tax status of the property. Laws do change, after all. Lastly, the project, by state statute, because of the nature of this TID, was to close in 2035. So then we advance ourselves essentially another year forward to today. So what's changed? The developer has brought additional projects to this. And several members of the public over the last several months have commented that the number of buildings has been reduced. In reality, it's not the number of buildings, it's the value of the property, and therefore the tax on that value that allows the city to repay the project costs. The estimated projects by the developer was $160 million at its most recent estimate. Staff asked the city assessor to look at the buildings and give his estimate of what he thought the value of these projects would be. If you add the two financial models together that are on the city's website, the increase in tax value as a result of this project is now estimated to be between $160 and $180 million. That would exceed the entire value of our most successful TID in the state that occurred here in Franklin, our business park, which generated $167 million, Alderman? $162 million in that range. So this project is on par with that particular TID project.
And net cost on the business park was about $34 million plus debt service.
Thank you. I didn't know that number.
Do you want to say that
louder? Because
the net construction cost on the business park, as I recall, and I can be wrong, okay? Everybody understands, this is coming off the top of my head. Don't throw it back in my face. My estimate that I recall was $34 million in construction costs with interest.
In what year?
We defeated
1992 to it closed in 2012. So what else has changed? The developer has approached the city and said that the infrastructure costs on a landfill has increased by some number, and he's asked for $5.25 million additional help from the city. There have been those who have asked, well, let's see the changes. The developer's agreement indicated that the city would pay for these costs, but we are not a party to the contracts. So those changes to the contract were negotiated between the developer and his contractors, not between the city and those contractors. And right or wrong, the developer's agreement just called for the city to pay for it. We put a cap on it, and there have been those in the public who have said not to exceed, and any costs over that will be borne by the developer. As a partnership, he's come to us and said he needs some help. It's up to us to decide whether we want to help on this particular one. It's not a financial, that's a political decision. So what have we done? In addition, the developer in the original developer's agreement said he would bring partners, developers, to this project. He would not necessarily do it all himself. And then you'll find various clauses in the developer's agreement where the developer is to provide evidence of equity, to provide evidence of financing. That means it doesn't have to be him, it could be somebody else. The very first project that came along was a developer from Minneapolis who said, we'll put up a senior housing complex. The developer's not doing that, but he brought that partner to this particular project. And that project is under construction today. He's also brought someone to bring in to the city the Mandel Group to put up the apartment complex. The apartment complex has also asked for some city assistance. And there's a lot of numbers being thrown around, and there's a lot of numbers in Dawn's project. The gross number in the project plan that's on the city website is $14.9 million. You've just heard Ian from Mandel say that that's valued at about $7.5 million, give or take, Ian. If you discount that value, because some of those dollars aren't available to them until 20 years from now, a dollar today, a dollar 20 years from now is not worth the same as a dollar today. So you can say, was it $7.5 million or is it $14.9? I'll let the public decide that. Over time, the total cash and a part of the TID will be $14.9 as it's currently estimated. But to make this work, the original TID 5 that I mentioned was formed on my wedding anniversary in 2016 had to terminate in 2035. Take 20 years from today, you know, 2035 says it had to stop. So to solve that problem, and somebody talked about a whack-a-mole, somebody talked about lots of different models, Ehlers and I and the developers have worked together to create some financial models that work. One of the solutions was to create a new TID. The new TID will be involving just the apartment properties, none of the other properties. That new TID would then have start a new life. Oh, thank you, Sandy. The TID map is up on the, yeah. So for those who are watching, these are here are the apartments. This is the senior housing.
No,
now you switch to the other one.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, all right, I just tried to say this building here is the senior housing complex. These buildings in a lighter yellow are the apartment complex. So what we plan on doing, or are proposing to do, is to create a new TID that will deal with just the apartment complex. And the tax dollars going into that apartment complex, as Mandel has said, is a request for a rebate of some, but not all, of those tax dollars. That's a very important point in all of this. They're asking for some of their tax dollars back, not all of it. Because there are additional tax dollars available in that apartment TID, we are able to take a portion of the additional infrastructure aid that the developer has asked for and put those costs in the apartment TID. So approximately $3.25 million of the additional infrastructure costs will be borne by the new TID, and $2 million of the additional ask will be borne by the existing TID. Then the Mandel Group would be offered a PAYGO, municipal revenue obligation in governmentese, that says if you pay your taxes, a portion of those taxes will be paid back to you. If the taxes and the buildings don't come, then you don't get the rebate. It's that simple. However, we anticipate that they will build these buildings, and the monies that the city is going to borrow to pay for the infrastructure will be senior, will be paid first before the developer will get their grant back. And that's part of the way this TID is being built. The city's putting money at risk, and that money will be paid and serviced before the developer will get their money. If they build what they say they're going to be building, there's enough money there for both of those elements. Secondly, the developer, as a help to their financing, has asked for a $4.5 million second mortgage. It's an interim set of financing. It would be repayable on the 10th anniversary, so it's a 10-year mortgage. The first 6 years of that project will be interest only, and part of that is because the apartments aren't built yet. We have to service the debt. They have to service the debt. They're not getting any revenue, so there's a holiday on the principal payments, and those will start in the 7th year, with the full mortgage being repayable in the 10th year. All of the city's payments that we will pay to finance that mortgage on our own, again, will be senior to the developer's pay-go portion, as will the city's admin costs on this particular one. Now, we've recognized there was some security in the original agreement. I mentioned earlier that the city had a $2.5 million reserve. As you look at these financing packages that are going to be shared in detail in a few minutes, the $2.5 million reserve doesn't quite get there in this new TID with the apartments being pulled out. So the city's going to have to waive that particular one, but if you look at the model that's being put together, nearly $2 million in cash is built up in this as a reserve. So the city's reserve security there is a little bit less. The developer and the city are in discussions about some additional guarantees. The developer originally guaranteed up to $94 million of value would be there, and the tax revenue on that $94 million would be available for the debt service. And if it doesn't come in, the developer will make it up. As you look at these models, and we'll point it out when we get there, we, the city, and the developer now understand that due to the delays from the purchase of the property from Milwaukee County and getting these other developers to come online, there's going to be, the first 2 years, a shortfall up to that will cost the developer upwards of $1 million in guarantee payments back to the city. We're in negotiations on how that money is going to be done, but the developer is aware that that call is going to be made, and we're talking about how we're going to do that particular security. There are other additional security elements that are currently under negotiations with the developer to deal with that. So I try to describe the original project, the project as it existed when the developer's agreement was signed, and where we are today. Essentially, the development went from a $100 million project to $125 when the developer's agreement was signed, to $160 to $180 today in the models. We're using $170. The infrastructure costs moved from $15 million of infrastructure and nearly $10 million of developer incentives to $22.5 million of upfront city money and a smaller $4.5 million MRO. To today, we're now talking of potentially of a total of $27.5 million worth of infrastructure costs, a $4.5 million mortgage, which will be an in and an out because the mortgage will be repaid, and a upwards of $7.5 to $14 million MRO, depending on how you want to look at that, that will be paid out of the second TIF. So that's the overview of how all of this is done. Then I would like to have, I'd like to entertain any questions if you have some on the general overview. Otherwise, we'll ask Ms. Gunderson to describe the individual module.
I have a couple of questions for you, Paul. Your responsibility here as city is finance officer.
Yes.
Does that include putting the budget together?
I get very involved in the budget.
The answer to that is yes.
Yes.
and you're responsible to ensure all the bills get paid, and we have the cash to do that, and all of those responsibilities, correct?
Yes. And just out of deference, Mr. Mayor, I do get involved with the mayor, but my boss is the budget director by title, and I didn't want to take anything away from my boss.
Did you get that, Mark? So, because you know the budget real well, just as Mark does, and I know it a little, not quite as good as you guys, how much of this is the taxpayer paying for?
None.
Sorry?
None.
How do you figure that? Well, says the taxpayers are paying for it.
Okay. The whole concept behind a TID, and Ian did a good job earlier describing it, but since you brought the issue back up, the whole idea behind the TID is today, in this entire area, the tax bill that the city collected on January 1st of 2019 amounted to $30,000 in total taxes collected by the city in this entire area. When this project is complete, the TID will collect $4 million annually on this area. Now, that assumes that the product, each of these projects are constructed and they're valued at what the estimates are. Yes, you can say that they're not there. Every TID starts out with nothing and builds projects that then creates value, that collects taxes, that then is used to pay back the project costs. Now, the reason I say that the current taxpayers are paying nothing towards this is because the tax levy that the city adopts annually in November is divided by all property that is outside the TID, and that is the money that is used to operate the city on an annual basis. Once the TID closes, then the tax value there gets added to all the other tax value, and the property owners in the city will get a tax benefit by having those properties begin to pick up a portion of the taxes that were previously not paid. But today, there's no tax money being, essentially no tax money being collected from this area. In the future, we estimate the annual tax revenue from that district is $4 million annually. That goes to all the taxing authorities. The city will get a quarter of that when the TID closes, because then the portion goes back to the county, school district, vocational district, MMSD, as well as the city.
Now, Ms. Gunderson, you're our financial advisor, and you work for Ehlers. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you have a fiduciary responsibility to the city, is that correct?
That's correct as well.
So that means that you the only interest you have is to make sure that the city's protected.
That's correct.
Financially. Do you agree with what Mr. Rosenberg just said?
I do agree with what he said. I would like to make one further clarification. Is the taxes that are paying for the projects we're discussing are the taxes that are being paid by the people that own and control the property in the district. So the Mandel Group will pay property taxes on what they own. It's the property taxes the Mandel Group is paying that will pay for the cost that is being provided to support this project. The property taxes that are being paid by every entity within the north part of Rawson, they're paying property taxes. They're taxpayers for the city. It's the taxes they're paying on their property within this district that are paying for the cost that we're talking about within this TIF plan.
Council, anybody have questions for Mr. Rosenberg? I don't. Thanks.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. There are two analyses that we're going to be reviewing, and that's because we're talking about two different TIF processes here. One is we were engaged to analyze the amendment to tax increment district number 5 for two reasons. One, as mentioned earlier in some of the presentation, there's a small piece of the property that was not part of the original district when it was created that's now been acquired by the developer from the Department of Transportation, and that property is intended to develop, provide additional tax base that will help support the overall district. So one of the purposes for that amendment consideration is the addition of additional territory, as well as we were engaged to look at the feasibility of its ability to support an additional request of $5.2 million of infrastructure cost. As part of the due diligence to analyze that on behalf of the city, we looked at several alternatives. So there was discussion about the different versions of this. We've run several different versions. We've done sensitivity analysis in terms of timing. If things were to come on sooner or later, those were part of the versions that we reviewed. And we also looked at and had come to some conclusions based upon the time available left in this original tax increment district number 5 timeline of the pressures it would put on the ability to support all of that within the remaining life of that district. So as part of that, we looked at alternatives that are available to the city under the law and have concluded that an overlay district and I'll get into a little bit more details of how that, what that means, and the creation of a new district which starts the clock over for that property south of Rawson allows that additional time frame to accomplish all of the potential project costs as well as accomplishing the ability to add the apartment buildings within to this overall scheme. So the reason we're here tonight with the two is we've reached somewhat of a analysis that would accomplish the intent or the direction that we would ultimately get from the city to move forward. So with that, I'd like to start with the district number 5 as we've analyzed it now and what we're referring to as that version U. District number 5 then is primarily the property north of Rawson Avenue, with the exception of some of the commercial property and the senior housing on the south side. So the first schedule in doing that is we look at the potential value within the district. So you're not going to be able to show it.
Okay. There's too many numbers. It's too small. But would you remind the public that these are available? These are all available on the website.
Paul, do you have an extra copy? You took mine back.
I do.
Okay, I got it.